Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Amidst this dynamic environment, legends allude to certain elements that remain relatively constant.
That's what I call my genitals.
Great and clean ones.
I misheard you, but
let's be real. They're not that great. They're not. Hello, and welcome back, children, to the internet's number one fake history podcast, The Church of the Lore Boys. This week, we're continuing to talk about the forces of chaos in the 40K universe as we jump into discussing none other but the Lord of Hope, Papa Nurgle. This request comes from Active Tither and brother and papa, Bobble Dob. So thank you, Bobble Dob, for your sermon request this week. I'm your host and your reverend, Ethan Palmer. With me, of course, is...
Hey, I'm the altar boy, James. That's what you call me.
very buggerable.
Haven't gone to church in a while, so I was struggling to come up with another role, but James is my name.
Yeah. Who's like, don't wear it out. Peter, of course, did. He made a mistake this week. I told him we were doing the Ruinous Powers or a Ruinous Power. He accidentally swore himself to Slaanesh and unfortunately did perish in a autoerotic self-asphyxiation accident. So he's not going to be able to make it, unfortunately. But we'll soldier on without him, right? Before we jump into brass tacks, I wanted to give a shout out to Captain Scribe for joining the Patreon. So thank you, Captain Scribe. If you guys want to shout out and want to support the show, you can head to patreon.com/The Lore Boy. So we're going to be talking about 40K again. We've done a few episodes now on the Chaos Primarchs. This is going to be an episode on Nurgle, who is one of the Ruinous Powers, who is one of the aspects of Chaos United in 40K. Essentially, okay. they don't agree with the Imperial way and the God Emperor of Mankind, the way that he does stuff. If you like this episode and you want to hear about other Ruinous Powers, feel free to let us know on Discord. There's a link in the description of this episode. I think we probably still have our URL, discord.gg/
yes,
Loreboys?
No, Loreboys. Just Loreboys.
Just Loreboys. Sorry. I'll get it right someday. I'll get myself like a post-it note or something to put on my computer. Yeah. But we do have a lore request channel there where you can request different things. And you can, if you are also a Patreon, a patron, you can get a fancy red name in Discord to show off and get a little bit more clout, like Bubble Dub, whenever they request an episode.
Yep.
There should be no required reading for this episode. If you haven't listened to the other Chaos Primarch episodes or the Horus Heresy episodes that haven't come out yet, you should be fine. I mean, we did do them ages ago, but we'll also be redoing them at some point. This one should stand alone, though maybe would be enriched by the other ones.
Absolutely.
Cool. So, and I guess finally, just before we jump in, primary source for this episode is it almost entirely comes from the Tome of Decay, which is just the essentially the units, the Chaos Space Marines who serve Nurgle, one of their releases, a book that was released based on them, has the entire first chapter is just dedicated to Nurgle. So all of this information pretty much comes from there.
We covered Magnus not so long ago. Is he a Ruinous Power? Is he in that same category?
No. So he's a Daemon Prince.
Okay.
And he serves the Ruinous Powers. Okay. So he serves there's four Ruinous Powers who are Nurgle.
Okay.
Tzeentch, Slaanesh, and Khorne, essentially. Magnus serves the Chaos God Tzeentch, the god of chain, and usually associated with sorcery as well. But we're not talking about Tzeentch today. Like I said, if you want to hear about him, you can request it. Nurgle is probably the most popular of the ruinous powers, known as the Lord of Hope, as I said. Which
sounds
is a
nice. That doesn't sound very ruinous at all.
Does sound nice, but it's not so nice, I guess. I didn't prep any pictures like I thought I would, so Jamie, you're just gonna have to use your imagination.
All right, that's fine. I'll describe all the pictures that don't exist.
There you go. Okay, so I'm going to start us off with a quote from another Daemon Prince, not Magnus, but Galfirth, who is addressing the diseased inhabitants of the conquered city of Kulis VII. "Rejoice, children. Your father brings you hope in your darkest hour. Let those who would accept his gifts come forth and receive the blessings of the Lord of Decay. Cast away your crutches and doubts. Put aside beliefs in a false master who fills your heart with lies, sorrow, and regrets. Embrace instead the glorious gifts of rot and decay. Revel in the beauty of putrescence and be reborn a living symbol of perseverance."
Oh, wow. Putrescence sounds almost nice when you put it that way, too.
it's an evocative word, at the very least. It does, does evoke something, in you, a sense of something in you. Mm-hmm. So Nurgle's whole thing, being the Lord of Hope, is that kind of believes that, you know, life is a cycle, and anytime someone dies, they'll always be reborn into something else, actually.
Right.
Doesn't believe in entropy, I guess.
It's a highway that you ride all night long.
Yeah. Or you want to ride it all night long, at least.
Yeah. Doesn't believe in entropy. That's kind of so his toothpaste always goes back in the tube.
Always.
All right.
It doesn't yours? Well, I don't understand.
I guess I'm not hopeful enough.
Not being a very good altar boy of the Papa Nurgle there. So, in every cold and uncaring corner in the 40K universe, a relentless tide of death washes over billions each day. Wars ravage entire systems, drenching civilizations in the blood of their own people. Conceit and avarice drain populations of their riches and futures, all for the benefit of a privileged few. Broken promises, deceit, and betrayal topple regimes, sacrificing lives in the pursuit of twisted ambitions. In the middle of all this, in the wake of these tragedies, suffering and misery, pain and disease grip the survivors, pushing them into the depths of despair. Such is the harsh truth of existence in the mortal realm, a truth spoken by the very breath that gives life to the malevolent beings dwelling in the dreaded realm of chaos. We've talked about it a fair number of times now. You know, the Warhammer 40K meme subreddit is /r/grimdank.
Yes.
Because it's very much a grim, dark universe. So constant war, constant suffering. You know, the Emperor of Mankind has been dead for 10,000 years. Or not dead, but he's been dying for 10,000 years at this point, and is losing the fight. One of the images that I would have shared was there's like a big hourglass that chaos maintains, with one side being like the forces of the Imperium, the other side being the forces of chaos, and it's ever tipping in the favor of chaos and disarray.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Society's losing.
Okay,
right.
But you can flip it over at any time to keep the cycle going, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's how they're using it. But
isn't that how hourglasses work? When you're done going one way, you flip it over and it goes.
You could, but if you're too dead to flip over the hourglass, what are you gonna do?
Oh, I haven't been in that situation before. Okay,
too dead to flip an hourglass.
Yeah.
Among the countless malign influences that plague the mortal realm, not just the filthy Xenos, there is only one entity who carries with it a singular commodity unlike any other: hope. The gifts of Nurgle, the Plague Father, grant his recipients the chance to rise above the unavoidable tide of decay. Through Nurgle's rancid visitations, souls find renewed purpose and the will to defy the void of dissolution, reclaiming a life worth living. Endings become new beginnings, and Nurgle offers an abundance of both.
Is the new beginnings they become zombies?
Oh, worse, I guess. Like they kind of become flesh monsters or flesh abominations. Nurgle is the chaos god of like rot and pestilence and disease. We'll get into a description of what he looks like a little bit later on. It's it's not pretty. And most of the people who serve him are reflections of him in some way.
All right, cool. I know I always do this, but drawing the like where Blizzard probably stole from 40K is Ner'zhul, who is actually the Lich King, and he reanimates people. Well, he gives them life again, but through killing them.
True.
So I wonder.
Yeah, this really reminds me of Erikson, like the crippled god Nurgle, being like, right. Oh yeah, you know, you're sick and you're wounded. Like, let me give you power, and from that power comes hope. And when they cast their twisted magic, like they like get covered in boils and like eventually explode or whatever. Like that's very Nurgle.
Hope really. And tumors. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. So I got another quote for you. This one is from Zlans the Rakt, the Speaker of Rot.
Cool.
Entropy is all-consuming, fed by all struggles against it. Thus, even to hope is to despair. So despair, and in your desperation, find purpose. So there's no corner of creation that does not decay, according to Nurgle. No civilization escapes the machinations of its rivals, no king eludes the plotting of its enemies, and no life avoids the grasp. Not even the false emperor, with his devoted followers and tech priests, can evade the ravages of time and inevitable demise. Nurgle is the answer to the question of what awaits at the end. Every ending births the certainty of a new beginning. A careless guardsman, consumed by a Katachan spiker, gives rise to a new spiker. Rotted flesh from a diseased underhive ganger sustains plague rats in dark, maggot-filled tunnels. There's always life finds a way.
Right? Yeah, that's so hopeful. Someone being devoured in the sewers. That's great.
It's beautiful in the maggot-filled sewer tunnels, right?
Right. Yeah, I remember going for a walk in the woods and finding a dead deer, and the deer it looked like the skin was almost moving, and you went close. And there was heat coming off the deer. And when you looked under the skin, there was a million maggots. And then, so one life ended, there was millions being born, right?
Exactly. And
the heat still haunts me to think of that, though. It was just so weird how like, ugh, yeah.
That's rot, baby. That's Nurgle.
That's Nurgle in the flesh.
So, and he's got a lot of flesh. He's ample bosom, if you will.
Oh, all right.
Amply bosomed. If you will.
Well, now I'm wishing you brought the pics.
I get you a picture of Nurgle. So Nurgle's also known as the Lord of All. He weaves his influence through every corner of existence. There's no being, action, or outcome that does not serve his end. Although he could merely await the unfolding of the universe, his boundless energy and enthusiasm to drive him to create contagion within his manse. Physical plagues and virulent ideas are then leashed upon the mortal realm. One very common way that Nurgle is described, and I'm going to send you a picture now of what he looks like.
All right.
Very jovial. He's always described as being super enthusiastic and jovial and in a good mood 90% of the time.
Ah, you know what? At least he's smiling a lot. I kind of like... He's a great big mound of, like, orangey green and purple, and there's like little holes all over him, like the backs of those frogs that carry their own babies.
Yeah.
Got a big smile with many pointed teeth. He looks like he has broken antlers. He's very like, he's like a big guy. He's a Discord mod type body.
And the body of a Discord mod.
Yeah. And he has his hands outreached but pointing upwards. So it looks like he's ready to receive information. He's not like blocked off from the world, you know?
It looks like he just told the joke, right? And he's like looking to the other people in the room being like, you know, with his hands like palms up kind of.
And everyone's nervously laughing. I noticed there's a tentacle or two hanging out of different places.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime we're dealing with any of the Chaos Gods, you're going to get a tentacle or two.
Yeah.
So. Probably Slaanesh has the most.
Okay. And the other picture you sent to it, a different depiction of him, but very, very wide mouth. This guy has more horns. He looks happy.
In the second picture, you can see like war standards in front of him to give a perspective of how big he is. Like down and to the left, you see like a tiny person who's basically like not as tall as one of his toes.
Wow. Yeah. So he's massive. He's like as big as a Great Pyramid, maybe even a little bit smaller than that, actually. I don't know. How big is a Great Pyramid?
I mean, it's in the name. They're pretty great.
Yeah.
I'm not the so-so pyramids.
Yeah. Great pyramid. Yeah, that's it. Nurgle's always pointing within 0.2 degrees of true north.
Yeah, exactly. The aliens came and built Nurgles in on every major continent.
Exactly. Yeah. He's huge. Okay, he's massive.
Yeah. So Nurgle welcomes resistance, learning to circumvent every defense erected against him. Each cure begets a more powerful disease, and his enemies' victories come at great cost, leaving them vulnerable to Nurgle's ever-evolving pox. Resistance becomes self-defeat, and change is but a delay. Time, after all, holds no dominion in the realm of chaos. So in the we kind of just talked about what he looks like in the, or at least like we know as people not in the 40K universe, right? In the records, the Imperial records of countless races across the galaxy, Nurgle is often seen as a bringer of corruption and ruination. While partly true, this church thinks that that assessment is pretty narrow, missing the greater truth that lies within. The more primitive races understand the undeniable nature of the Master of Certitude. Life is a perpetual struggle and erosion, and the truth of that is clear in Nurgle. So there's like a lot of like cavemen species that like live in the galaxy that happen to worship Nurgle because they recognize like, oh, when a deer rots in the wood, it gives birth to a million flies or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's true. This, I'm just looking closer at the second picture. I didn't notice, but he's got like part of his intestines that look like his left arm is like trapped underneath. It's coming out of his belly and looks like it could be going to his back or like the backside of his arm. It looks like if he lifted his left arm too fast, he would undo his insides. But
yeah, so he's got like his intestines are kind of spilling out as though he were eviscerated, but he's actually also got like a little mouth in his tummy that is kind of like poking into and then poking out of a cheek and out of like the second mouth. He's also got like eye socks coming out of his mouth.
Oh, that's very grotesque. Okay, but yeah, I guess a caveman would get that feeling by looking at a rotted piece of meat, right? It's something that they could have eaten, now it's just being taken by nature forces greater than them. Yeah.
So to a mortal, accepting the decay of a limb or the ejection of entrails as a blessing can be difficult. Even the decrepit Emperor of Man, enthroned in his golden throne, stands as a testament to Nurgle's grandeur. 1,000 souls offer themselves each day to this false idol, futilely striving to preserve his rotting presence. So we're not going to talk about the God Emperor of Mankind or the Golden Throne or anything too much right now, but I will give a quick aside on it. And if it sounds interesting, again, feel free to request more on it in the Discord or send us an email at contact@loreboys.com. But so the Emperor of Mankind is seated on his Golden Throne and he's dying, and he's been dying for about 10,000 years in the 41st millennium, or the I think we're the 42nd millennium now. But he's seated on his Golden Throne, and he's there for a very specific purpose, which is that he maintains something called the Astronomicon, which is what allows humans to achieve faster than light travel through the warp. So the Emperor of Mankind is a lighthouse in Warhammer 40K, and that he is just this like shining golden beacon in the warp that everyone can calibrate their compasses to, essentially.
Okay. I feel like I've made this joke in a distant past, but there's like motivational posters with a lighthouse and it says, "Yes, you astronomic can." right? Like the kitten hanging from the thing.
Yeah.
Like that. It's the hope that the not rotting people need, I guess.
Yeah, it's that. So it's a picture of a lighthouse. And it says, "Yes, you astronomer can." And then there's 1,000 people being thrown into the fire of the lighthouse because the God Emperor of Mankind is dying. So 1,000 psychers every day are essentially like hooked up to the Golden Throne to contribute their psychic power to keep the flame burning. And they just like turn to ash before the end of the day, essentially, because it's too much energy.
Ah, circle of life, man. It's all part of part of the big.
That's exactly it. Serves Nurgle's purpose, right? It's about how they can't win. The expended ammunition, the human body sent to their doom, all serve Nurgle's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So among the Chaos Gods, like I said, there's four of them. Nurgle possesses a profound understanding of the interconnectedness of his own essence. So each of the Ruinous powers has a dual nature, but it's Nurgle who seems to embrace it more than any of the others. So Khorne, blood for the blood god. You may have heard the phrase before. That's Khorne saying.
Absolutely.
He embodies bloodshed and martial pride. So he's like carnage, and then he's also like honor, kind of, you know, the samurai code, if you will. These aspects are different sides of the same coin, but they are on opposite sides of the coin. For Nurgle, all the chaos gods kind of have that aspect to them. Nurgle, as Nurgle sees it, there's no division between decay, death, disease on one side, and hope, rebirth, resistance on the other. Like for him, it's all connected. You know, he sees it all intertwined.
He seems like misunderstood so far. Like, sure, he doesn't look great on the outside, but Circle of Life, hey, we can find that.
I've had days where I felt like I look like him, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? You still have a smile and you tell a joke, and that's all we can do in this trying times. Yeah.
Exactly. Make fun of Nurgle all you want, but you can't laugh at his smile. You know what I mean? Nope. That's just rude. So for a Lord of Chaos, to your point, Jane, Nurgle's actions appear strangely harmonious and even caring. Yeah. To receive his blessings, one need only desire to live and be willing to hold on to life at any cost. As long as you want to live and you want to keep living, you can be accepted into the Church of Nurgle.
Dude, that's he would love that Saw guy. That Saw guy is all about proving if people want to keep living.
Yeah, yeah. Jigsaw?
yeah, from the Saw's horror movies. It's like, okay, I had cancer and I got in a car crash and I crawled back to blah, 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 and I survived. Now, will you survive? Cut off your intestines with your left arm that's wrapped around your intestines already.
Yeah, and then bite the intestines off with your tummy mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be a high priest, I think, just making sure everybody wants to live.
Jigsaw, yeah, he'd be a speaker of rot. Sure.
Yeah.
So converse to how to get into Nurgle's church to receive the blessing of Khorne, for example, Khorne's followers must pursue ever increasing levels of destruction. So you gotta keep killing, and you gotta kill faster and more every single time. Those who follow Tsinch are constantly seeking to change everything around them and are not allowed to ever be content with what they have. And the horny followers of Slaanesh are constantly seeking an escape from reality, dulling their senses of hedonism, which I'm sure we've said this before. And like, they try really hard to make like the followers of Slaanesh feel evil, but it's like, damn, like if you had to pick one club to join, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, they all sound like perfectly human things to feel and want, right? Like
sure, maybe not Khorne, maybe not like the I want to kill all the time forever and bathe in blood and all that stuff.
Maybe not the bathe in blood.
Jamie's like, no, it's that feels extremely human to me.
But the other three, like, okay, like life, their death and life is a cycle. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Hedonism, hey, we're all here for a bumpy ride. I just watched Platoon last night and they're all in Vietnam. I don't blame them for going to opium dens. They saw some crazy shit.
Exactly,
know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then what's the other one?
Tsinch is never content with what you have and always be seeking change, which is like, yeah, that's just a good way to live, right?
That's how you continual improvement. That's what we all aim to do. If you start to sit on your laurels, that's when life gets boring and you lose purpose. And these Emperor of Man, like honestly, he seems worse than a lot of these ruinous powers.
Yeah, I mean, he is in a lot of ways. Like very, very much the Astartes is they're fascists, right? So they're very much like run by him. 90% or 99% of the galaxy, the people of the Imperium don't know that the Emperor of Mankind is dying, and they have to worship him. And you know, the Psykers who go and sacrifice themselves at the Golden Throne, do they know what they're signing up for? Probably not.
Right.
And you know, we could all just be living with Slaanesh.
They're at least honest, these Ruinous powers. I don't have that bloodlust, but I do think that there are people who have anger problems and stuff, and maybe maybe that's an honest human feeling, but I don't think it's one we need. But anyways.
Way to backpedal, James.
I swear I've never killed someone.
I swear I've never bathed in the blood of my enemies. You know, built the foundation for my castle out of their skulls.
Not yet. We'll see. Maybe with the continual improvement, always wanting to change.
Yeah, the change. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're just giving them Nurgle's gift, right? The
absolutely.
People that you kill. So,
yeah, that seems fair.
Nurgle's worshippers, on the other hand, find comfort in embracing life's realities and making the most of it. All that is needed is faith in the future provided by Nurgle. Plaguefather's caring touch extend to those who embrace life's essence. So now that we're sold, and I feel like we are sold on the gifts of Papa Nurgle.
Absolutely. Before we get too much farther, I'm trying to transcribe this into the figurines. Can you play as like Nurgle's army, or do you have to?
Yeah. Okay. You can play as the. They're like Plague Marines, but I think they have a better name. Are they just called Plague Marines? Yeah, it's just. The Plague Marines are like Nurgle. So like there's the Space Marines factions, which you can play, and you can play like the Luna Wolves, and you can play as the Ultramarines, and you can play as the Salamanders. And then there's the Chaos Space Marines, where you can play as the Plague Marines, or you can play as Khorne's guys, or Cinch's guys, or Slaanesh's guys. But yeah, each of the factions have like an army in 40K. I can paste a little picture here of what Nurgle's knights look like, I guess.
Okay. But. Yeah, they're human. They're not like Necrons or like the rat people.
No, exactly. They're humans. I mean, by and large. So some of them are just like and we'll get into descriptions. I'm not gonna remember them right now, but there are some which are just called like beasts. And they're essentially just like flesh monsters that are created by Nurgle in his garden, and we'll get into his garden in just a few seconds here.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and they're humanoid, but they definitely have like qualities that Nurgle has, like a tube from your mouth going in straight into your intestines for the infinite food glitch. The big stomach with the teeth in it. It looks like you take a bite and it goes right to your belly, and then this other guy who just has some spikes and stuff, but
yeah,
cool. Yeah,
by and large the Plague Marines, at least, obviously are Space Marines, but of the army, I'm pretty sure you can get other units which are just like flying flesh blobs that explode on impact and spread.
I like flying flesh bob. Like, that's his name.
Flying flesh bob.
Yeah, flying flesh bob. That's me.
I'm flying flesh bob. I'm the only bob with all the flying flesh that you could ever eat. You want seagull? I got it. You want bat? I got it.
No thanks. I've got a tube that goes directly to my intestines, to my mouth. So I'm full. Yeah,
full of cormorant. So there's plenty of pictures of Nurgle out there. I posted two of them to you, usually depicted as a bloated monstrosity. And while the reality is that, like all the ruinous powers, Nurgle will appear differently at different times. And like everybody who claims to have seen him probably sees him a different way, because he lives in chaos, rarely leaves. And when he does, he's probably changed by the time he comes out. He is by far of the four the most consistent in his So I have a quote taken from a fictional book called The Journal of Ulbirna. I gazed at his magnificence, my vision completely filled with his glorious girth. All around me was flesh and smiling flies. Within his bulk, I spied lesser minions suckling on his leaking entrails. At his feet, pools of pus and other bodily fluids gathered, in which his children splashed and played with glee.
Oh my. Oh my god, I really like that, though. It's so disgusting but like jovial at the same time. Smiling flies, the children playing in a pimple pool.
Children, which are themselves probably like these flesh abominations, just like splashing and playing in a bunch of like pus gathered at his feet, you know.
What was the other word? It's glorious, like, girth. I like glorious girth. Glorious next girth, time anyone says, hey, you gained a little bit of weight, I'll say it's my glorious girth.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that a lot.
It's like it's his like flesh children are playing like on his feet because he's so huge, and one of them like opens one of his pimples like a fire hydrant, like spraying pus into the air,
like throws his shoulder spike into the giant pimple, and then all the kids are playing. Yeah.
On those hot summer days in the garden of Nurgle.
God, yeah, it would pay not to have a sense of smell around there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Probably for most of the warp, the immaterium, honestly.
Yeah.
Most accounts of Nurgle match the description of a distended flesh monster covered in rotting flesh. The Tome of Decay continues with this quote. The legend and tales universally describe Nurgle in unflattering terms. He is said to be a vast mound of rotting flesh with open sores and gaping wounds in which his lesser minions cavort and frolic. Weeping pustules ooze filth and his bowels constantly issue prescient waste. Beneath his fingernails, maggots and other carrion feeders lay eggs around which develop cysts that periodically burst open and spew their rancid payloads. Perhaps the tales are correct, perhaps they are not. It does not matter, though, because whatever it is dwells within the mansion at the center of the garden. There can be no denying that the creations of this being are both foul and wondrous, and the joy with which he goes about his work is infectious. nice little pun there. Right?
Yeah.
Infectious joy.
Yeah, I really don't mind this guy so far. I think I might follow him if I was in this universe. I think I might be one of the slime boys.
So I keep saying Papa Nurgle. That is his name in the community, I guess, as people call him Papa Nurgle. Right. Again, he is the Lord of Hope, and people generally like him. You know what I mean? Unless you're a fan of the fascists, I guess.
Yeah.
So like I said before, time and space don't really mean anything in the warp. But each of the ruinous powers has carved out a little slice of paradise for themselves. Nurgle's garden is where he finds his zen. So Nurgle's garden is what he calls like his realm in the Hell dimension.
Okay, so like to us, it would be like a meadow that goes on forever, and there's a beautiful pool of water with crystal clear water to drink, and mm-hmm. like a deer like slowly eating like some grass far away, and it'd be beautiful. But for him, I bet you it's like pus lakes. It is it's just like nasty everything.
Nasty fleshy plants. Why they give plants flesh? Yeah. They didn't have to do that.
Yeah. There's like a smiling fly that lands in a carnivorous plant that chomps, and then a bigger fly that comes and chomps the plant.
Exactly. Yeah, and then it pans out and they're all on a bigger carnivorous plant. And
yes.
Back and forth. Very, very itchy and scratchy. So the regions don't necessarily have borders because space isn't a thing in the warp, but they're more just manifestations from these greater powers. The size of and scope of the garden actually waxes or wanes depending on how much worship Nurgle is getting and how kind of his overall power, how good he's doing. Essentially, among the other the forces of the ruinous powers and in the trad world, the mortal realm, if you will.
The trad world. Yeah, it's like all the chaos primarch, or all the primarchs have a wife that makes them dinner and sends them to work with lunch.
There's a history of particularly Games Workshop. It's like there's no, for a long time, it's been like, no, there's no female Astartes. Like there's no women space marine because women don't belong in the army kind of thing. So there's like a push to change that now. And then like they release like the Sisters of Battle who
that's the ones that I knew, yeah.
But they're not; those aren't Astartes. Like those aren't space marines, right? They're their own chapter. They're their own thing. Like
Pizzo is pushing his liberal agenda with the yeah, that right. he chooses,
right? We're gonna play with Barbies then, huh? Bring your Barbies to the battlefield. In the grand tapestry of chaos, Khorne, Slaanesh, Tsinch, and Nurgle wield their distinct influences over the realms they inhabit. Through their will, actions, and the endeavors of their followers, each god shapes a vastly different domain. Khorne, the blood god, thrives in the heart of conflict and warfare. His realm is a relentless battleground where his minions engage in ceaseless combat across numerous war-torn landscapes. Slaanesh, the embodiment of pleasure and desire, reigns over a personal paradise of alluring wonders and bewildering beauty. In this realm, tempting delights await wanderers at every twist and turn, ensnaring them in seductive illusions. Again, like they do not sell that this is a bad person to be like, hey, I get it. I lose my free will and all that. But like, if I got to go with one of them.
Yeah.
I'm going Slaanesh, you know?
Yeah, me too, man. Like, you got a wife and kids you got to look out for. You can't go over to the eternal pleasure dimension, but man, sign me up. What do I got to lose? you know, like that sounds great. Right.
If we got to go. I'm not sending my wife and kids to like the heart of conflict and warfare domain.
No,
come on.
Of course not. But maybe maybe you could have a happy life if you got used to pus.
all the fire hydrants Addy could ever want. so Tsinch's domain exists as a chaotic melange of impossible structures, ever-shifting mazes, and landscapes in perpetual transformation. Here, reality is a mutable tapestry of unpredictability. So it's just like a bad mushroom trip the whole time you're there.
Oof.
Nurgle, the Lord of Decay, stands in stark contrast, tending to a garden all of his own. Within this garden, life and death merge in an eerie harmony, nurturing a grotesque beauty amid the decay. Oh. Within our garden, a well-balanced ecosystem thrives, akin to a peculiar and twisted garden.
Okay. That's so... It's a very balanced ecosystem, so they better not release wolves. Or no, wait, they take the wolves out
they
of...
They gotta release the wolves.
Yeah.
There weren't enough wolves, yeah.
Yeah, they killed all the wolves, so then all the deer started being too much, and they ate all the pus plants.
Exactly.
And then the flies became too much, because none of the pus plants were eating them.
Exactly. Yeah. So we got vibrant blue plants called shovel roots. They uproot themselves, leaving behind fertile soil, which the plague bearers use to sow new skull seeds. As the skull seeds sprout and blossom, they unwittingly attract playful, bounding beasts with a capital B that mistake the fruits for new toys. In their exuberance, the beasts violently scatter the matter into the air, where it finds refuge on the wings of the ever-present flies. The flies, slowed by the sticky pulp of the scattered plants, become easy prey for other winged creatures that feed on them as they soar through the air thick with decay. Unbeknownst to these predators, the blowflies act as carriers of Nurgle's experimental diseases and creations.
Wow. I didn't expect you to actually do the food chain. Yeah. That's great. That's great. Okay.
Infected by the blowflies, the predators fall ill, vomiting the contents of their guts across the garden as they fly, eventually meeting an explosive end, showering the area with life-giving flesh and blood. The circle of life.
That's great. Yeah, the violent when they think it's toys and the violent shaking and stuff, I just pictured that as like seizing because it like it wasn't supposed to be or something. I like those plants would revolutionize the way that we do farming
if we had them. Themselves up.
Yeah dig themselves up and move along. Like you'd plant the shovel plants first. And then you'd only have to sow the seeds. It would take a lot of stuff out, right? Like
it would give new meaning to the phrase farm to table, right? If they were just doing it themselves.
Yeah.
Getting totally. Up and walking to your table.
Yeah.
Eat me, sir.
What? Yeah, the people would pay for the table right at the end of the field and the shovel plant would come over. That'd be great. Yeah.
So this bounty of mutated and mutilated tissue rains down upon new sections of the garden, settling into the soil, initiating the cycle of life and death. The decaying matter transforms into compost, nurturing the growth of fresh life in this grotesque garden.
Who do I want to be? In that whole... The flies are smiling. Maybe they...
I want to be the plague bearers who are just planting skull seeds, I think.
Yeah? Right? Okay. The flies seem like they're smiling and all they have to do is carry stuff. The shovel plants seem
and
like...
And then get eaten by predators.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Frig. Okay. maybe if it doesn't hurt too much, the beasts that explode, if it was like all at once, you know, like they say the billionaires in the submarine,
no,
they didn't feel nothing, you know?
Because they're flying predators and they start vomiting. So they're vomiting for a while and then they explode at the end of it so that their flesh feeds the stuff that they vomited, essentially.
Okay.
So it doesn't sound like super peaceful. It doesn't sound like slipping away in your sleep, you know?
Okay, it doesn't. I was thinking about that a lot this week. I watched Speed with Keanu Reeves and they're like always taking bombs apart, right? Yep. And if you were worried about death, like we're all afraid of death, or I'll say I am. I'll let you all have your own opinion. But I'm usually afraid of like it being long lasting and like disease and then like the pain of it and stuff. If you're a bomb disarmer, like if you die on the job, you probably didn't even know you died on the job.
You didn't know it for sure. Not.
It was just like, it's over. Kaboom, kabam. Like,
kaboom, kabam. It's over. Kaboom, kabam.
Yeah. Like, and you're just, you're a pink mist. Like, nothing, like you were there, then you weren't. And if it brings up a lot of questions of like what happens afterwards and all these things, but
I mean it's like the I mean it's not so like, but it makes me think of the when the Fukushima reactor like leaked in 2012 after the tsunami.
Right.
It was like all the older engineers who had retired who volunteered to go like clean it up and like fix it because they knew like, oh, young engineers are gonna going to be getting radiation like sickness or will develop cancer or whatever, where it's like it's not as big a deal for like older people. So I think like if you have a terminal illness, just sign up for the bomb squad is what Jamie's saying, right?
It seems very technical. You do need what's that guy's name? I'm forgetting the actor's name. Daniel something or something like that. Anyways, Keanu Reeves. You need your guy at base who's like telling you all the wires to cut. As long as you got a good one of those.
Cut the green wire, right.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you got a good one of those, and maybe you'll do some good for the world. But what a great idea for a movie, though. The bots can't go under 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, I know.
It's and they're wild. Taking big old turns.
They got to do the jump there. Like, yeah, I watched that movie a lot as a kid.
What's your name on VHS?
Oh my God. Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock, and she's awesome too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways. Dude, I've been watching movies that are on Tubi TV, not to get too far away. Tubi TV is like the free Netflix.
Okay.
And like I scrolled down and it's kind of like super jank though. It's like all movies that are like either really old or like not desirable. Like you go to the stand-up comedy section and there's just six Jeff Dunham specials like in a row.
If you're watching Tubi TV, you might be a redneck.
Oh no, he's the ventriloquist.
Dunham. I was thinking of Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah. But I think the Blue Collar Tour was on there though as there well. Yeah. The ventriloquist though, this like the just vaguely racist Muslim puppet that he does, and a bunch of other stuff. It's not very good comedy, but anyways.
What is good comedy is birds exploding, I guess, in a twisted garden.
A puff of feathers.
Exactly, yeah. All contributing to the perpetuation of Nurgle's domain. The Garden of Nurgle embodies constant change, its landscape in constant flux, molded to suit the master's needs and fancies. Some areas are fleeting, formed to indulge Nurgle's momentary desires, or bestowed as rewards to accomplished great unclean ones, which is what he calls his like generals, I guess you could say. Amidst this dynamic environment, legends allude to certain elements that remain relatively constant.
That's what I call my genitals.
Great and clean ones.
I misheard you, but
let's be real. They're not that great. They're not pyramids, the great pyramids of Giza. Great. Those are so unclean genitals.
They're great in their uncleanness.
Greatly unclean.
Yes.
Unclean, parentheses, to a great amount, one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Nurgle reserves expanses of fields where he meticulously plants his crops of bladed herbs, vital components for his malevolent concoctions. Pits serve as macabre repositories for the bodies upon which he conducts his twisted experiments. Above all else, though, the most unchanging facet of this realm is an immense, decrepit mansion standing tall at the heart of the garden. This structure serves as the central hub for Nurgle's operations, where he stores his grotesque creation, brews his legendary contagions, and hosts guests who revel in the peculiar allure of his realm. It has been within these crumbling walls that the plotting and scheming of the Great Corruption takes shape, guiding the course of his dominion.
Jeez, and that must be a big house for him to fit in.
Like, space, it doesn't matter in the warp. It's all... There's no such thing as dimensions. You know what I mean? It's
you can manifest in different ways than your giant human body or your giant like human world body.
It's like in four dimensions, you can turn a sphere inside out without ever like breaking the surface, kind of thing. You know,
which is it breaks all of our brains because we're not wired to figure that out.
To understand it. Yeah. So coming up after the break. We all catch the plague.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
There is a house of decay at the center of Nurgle's garden. Its racked and twisted structure creaks and groans under the influence of baleful, toxic winds. Shutters cling just barely to window frames, only half filled with broken panes of filth-covered glass. Sewage drains spill forth beetles, maggots, and twisted centipedes with only tongues for their bodies and human fingers for legs. Paint continually cracks and peels away from the wood beneath, yet the house never loses its gray-green hue. Along the roof, hundreds of chimneys bellow out dark clouds that, upon close inspection, are composed of millions of floating, buzzing flies. All around this house, trees made of bone bear fruit that rots even as it swells. The leafless boughs of these ancient trees provide shelter for demonic birds that sing the funeral dirges of any unwelcome visitor. It is a house of pestilence, rot, and death. This is Nurgle's mansion, and that means that it is also a place of hope and renewal. It's taken from the Tome of Decay. Page 11.
That Nintendo Switch game, I think, Nurgle's Mansion. Yeah. It's just a shaky Luigi walking through a bunch of bus monsters.
Mario? just centipedes burst out of a vent in the fucking wall.
I was thinking about the plants that are the fruits that automatically decay as they're growing. Mm-hmm. Did you know that I think you would know this, that squirrels often get drunk off of of fruit that's decaying.
Oh yeah, because
they'll eat it. Yeah,
makes sense, but
yeah. So like all the crab apples, let's say, that fall from a crab apple tree, they start to decay and ferment. Yeah. And if you ever see a squirrel that's acting really wacky near a fruit tree, like in the fall, it's probably because they're drunk.
Probably drunk. Yeah. I know there's like bears that huff like Russian jet fuel or whatever that's left out in barrels and just like get addicted to getting high like that, but.
Okay, that's pretty intense. That's like a man-made problem, it sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's from that mansion that Nurgle plots and schemes and devises his latest and greatest plagues and plans out, his part of the Long War. So the Long War, also known as the Eternal War, is the relentless struggle waged by the Chaos Space Marines of the Traitor Legions and Renegade Warbands. Their goal is to overthrow the Emperor of Mankind, claim control of the Imperium of Man for themselves, and the forces of Chaos, achieving the victory that eluded Warmaster Horus at the end of the Horus Heresy over 10 millennia ago. While the events of the Horus Heresy have become mere myths and legends to the people of the 41st millennia, for the traitor marines dwelling within the Eye of Terror, where time flows at a different pace, the passions of that era are still very much alive. So, 10,000 years ago, for most people who aren't, you know, Astartes, who can live for a very, very, very long time, that's way too long ago to remember or even care. In the context of our real world human history, is like we were just figuring out farming that long ago, right?
8,000 BC, yeah. I'm like wondering, is there even any major cities at 8,000 BC at this point?
Maybe like the first ones, you know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
Which were probably like, you know, 400 people.
Yeah,
all gathered together and just they were just figuring out how to plant crops and how to like rear livestock.
Right. Yeah. If you got diarrhea, like you could die.
Yeah.
Back then. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's not even that long ago that would happen.
Like, yeah. Hey, it could happen now, depending on where you are. You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
You're in the middle of the jungle. You get diarrhea. It's not good.
Yeah.
But for the Chaos Space Marines living in the Eye of Terror, where again. Time is not really a thing in the warp. They're kind of like, yeah, I remember that. It was last Tuesday, right? No. So these heretic Astartes are fearsome and ruthless warriors, cursed and twisted by the dark powers they serve. Their hatred for all they once hold dear consumes them, corrupting their bodies and souls. Amidst a galaxy full of horrors, the taint of chaos stands as the most insidious threat, capable of infecting even the strongest minds and blackening the most innocent souls. Even the Space Marines, despite their transhuman enhancements, are not immune to the lure of chaos, as we've already kind of seen. I shared the picture with you. Those who succumb to its seduction often fall deeper than mortals, becoming bitter, selfish champions of the Chaos Gods. They become grotesque shadows of their former glory, stark contrast to the noble Adeptus Astartes who were once their brethren. So yeah, if you're an average Joe, like you or me, we don't get to be Chaos Marines. We don't get to be Plague Marines, you know what I mean? Aww. We only get to turn into like blob. I guess if you're like a really good moral human, maybe you get to be one of those blowflies that gets eaten right. by a predator and then puked out.
Okay.
But
so we're forced to be pawns. Like the most we can hope for is catching someone killing us out of turn so somebody else could kill them, I guess.
Exactly. So get their comments, right?
Yep.
So for the past 10,000 Terran years, traitor legions and renegade chapters have ravaged and laid waste to the Emperor's worlds. The scale of their slaughter and conquest remains a well-guarded secret of the Inquisition for fear that that knowledge of the heretic's existence may tempt others towards chaos. So even in the, again, like I was saying, like most people don't know that the Emperor of Mankind is dying or that he's permanently hooked up to the Golden Throne and he can't leave it. Most of them don't even know that there are like chaos space marines or that chaos exists or that, you know, like entire worlds are dying under wars and all this stuff because of a fun little thing called the Inquisition, which keeps all that shit very tightly under wraps.
Yeah, dude. I only watch the news that they show me. So how am I supposed to know about all that stuff?
Yeah, I just watch Emperor's lamestream media to understand what's going on, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually signed up for a program where I get to sacrifice myself for the Emperor.
Well, lucky! Well, I wish I was a psyker. So, in the shadows, the Long War has raged for 10 millennia, unseen and unheard by the vast majority of the Imperium's populace. Countless battlefields bear witness to conflict where loyalists and rebels engage in a war that will shape the future of humanity itself. Across hundreds of worlds, the banners of the traitors are held high, leaving devastation in their wake. A single cry resounds across the Imperium. Death to the false emperor. Because they don't believe that he is an emperor. They don't believe that he's actually a god because he's dying, you know, which is like a fair criticism. Somebody who claims to be god.
Yeah, but seems like... If you don't have to put 10,000 lives in per day, that it would be a whole easier setup, you know? I think we could run this a little better, a little less overhead.
I mean, we talked about it before. He, you know, for all his faults, he was born in 8,000 BC and has been alive for like almost 50,000 years.
Whoa, dude, people could die of diarrhea back then.
Yeah, right? it was deadly. And that's what ultimately got the God Emperor of Mankind is that because he was from so long ago, diarrhea was still deadly for him.
Right.
So even though they found the cure, it only works on people born after 2023 BC or AD.
10,000 psychers a day to plug that big butt of his so he doesn't drain out.
So you gotta stay hydrated, you know what I mean?
yeah. Drink a lot of water, get your 10,000 psychic people in your butt, and you'll be okay.
A little Pedialyte, you know?
Yep.
You'll be fine. So the gods of chaos share a common ultimate goal to overthrow the existing order and establish dominion over both the realm of chaos and the mortal world. However, the paths they take to achieve this and the vision they hold for the universe's future vary drastically among the dark gods. Slaanesh, of course, yearns for a playground where endless delights can be explored, encompassing all of existence as a canvas for pleasure and indulgence. Again, I'll keep saying it, like sounds pretty great. Let's do that. Let's do that one, honestly. It's better than what we got right now.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the Warhammer 40K universe. I'm talking about what we got here on Earth in 2023.
I can't remember with Slaanesh. Like, I think we covered it. Like, something, there was a party big enough that it accidentally summons Slaanesh.
It was the Eldar, or one of the Eldar episodes that we did way back in the day.
It was at Peter's apartment, I remember. So it was pre-COVID. Yeah.
Like in 2018, something like that.
Yeah.
The link to that episode is in the description if you want to check it out. I don't remember it, but you can let me know what happened.
I remember just saying you ever partied so hard that you summoned like a sex god, basically. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Khorne, on the other hand, seeks to claim every skull and spill every drop of blood, use these macabre resources as the building blocks for his new kingdom of war and conflict. And again, as Jamie said, just natural human thoughts. Natural human things to think that is cool and good and necessary, right?
We all have it in us.
Even Jigsaw.
Yeah, true. I watched Splatoon last night, man. Even that rich guy, fucking Charlie Sheen, he wanted to go in and be a good guy, but he ended up not being such a good guy by the end. Mm. You know? And Everybody was just like Charlie Sheen at the beginning, right? It's a duality of man.
They're all like real Charlie.
Yes, exactly. Banging 7 gram rocks.
Exactly. As for Tsinch, the nature of their grand design remains shrouded in mystery. They keep their plans close to their enigmatic heart, leaving others to wonder what a reality molded in their image might entail. Perhaps even Tsinch is uncertain, their mind being a labyrinth of ever-changing schemes. For Nurgle, the visions of the other Chaos Guards appear inconsequential, self-indulgent fantasies bereft of any greater purpose or understanding of the fundamental nature of things. To him, their ambitions seem small and lacking in substance. I have a quote for you. This is from The Victory of Rebirth, from the fictional book Litanies of Inevitability. His enemies shall wither and die. His allies shall wither and die. The universe and all within it shall wither and die. And when the great corruption has settled over the land and permeated the very foundations of reality itself, then shall the Lord of all rise from the rot and ruin, spread his arms wide to reclaim all his dutiful children. So in contrast to the other ruinous powers, Nurgle recognizes that time is a flat circle. He's different in that while he still wants the destruction of the Imperium, he does it in a way that seems strange to some of the other ruinous powers. And he also believes like, oh, Slaanesh, you can have your, you know, your fuck universe, but it's, you know, everyone's gonna nut their last nut eventually, you know, what are you gonna do?
It's like Flesh Monster Buddha, you know, everything's a cycle, and
exactly. Yeah,
and maybe you're in the seventh cycle, which is you fuck for your whole life, but you know you're gonna come back around and you'll be that maggot chewing on a deer eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Chewing on a deer in the cum dimension. corn, you know, you can kill everybody, but from the flesh, new life will arise, kind of thing.
Yeah. Every time we say corn, I want to do one of the scat things that corn does, yeah. But I just cannot do them.
not confident enough.
Not well
not
enough.
Not confident enough in my corn knowledge to be able to bust one out here.
Something like that.
Not bad. Slaanesh is content with allowing Nurgle's plague marines to inflict suffering through blight and disease, but fails to understand why Nurgle's servants don't indulge in playing with the dead or the wounded. Korn finds some cooperation with Nurgle in unleashing destruction upon a target, but cannot fathom why Nurgle leaves certain places unharmed. These peculiarities are dismissed as Nurgle's eccentricities. He's just like, he's a kooky, he's a quirky kooky billionaire, you know what I mean? Like he's gonna buy Twitter and rebrand it to x.com.
Oh my god.
Tsinch, however, presents a more significant challenge. The Master of Change refuses to acknowledge Nurgle's path and incessantly manipulates events to achieve his desired outcome, often interfering with Nurgle's plan. While Nurgle knows the journey persists despite the meddling, Tsinch's games frustrate and vex him, causing setbacks not only for Nurgle, but for all the Dark Gods. Tsinch has the uncanny ability to provoke reactions even from the usually jolly. So it's like the only thing that gets under his skin, besides all those boils, is Tsinch, the god of change.
I just noticed, kind of funny, if you're a patron in our Discord, we have like a patron AMA question, and Magnus just started asking who's your favorite faction for the Warhammer 40K, and Peter's talking all about the Sisters of Battle, and we called him out on the episode. While he's talking about it. So
there you go.
Yeah,
Magnus got his episode. Okay, this isn't the Magnus episode.
No, yeah, but you can. You can be a part of that conversation too. On if you join the Patreon.
Yeah. So as the universe cycles between death and rebirth, Nurgle's greatest hope is that Tsinch will not be reborn alongside it, allowing for a respite from the incessant meddling. In the eternal dance of chaos, the gods continue their intricate power struggles, each weaving threads of fate and seeking their own version of dominion over the cosmos. So Nurgle's literally like, when I rebuild the universe, I'm gonna make it so that you're not reborn with it. I hate you, Tsinch. I hate you. You're such a jerk.
Just take you right out of the cycle of life. That's a big threat.
Yeah, I'm gonna fuck with your reincarnation, bro.
Yeah, and yeah, you won't even be in that Lion King song anymore.
You're no longer the circle of life.
No.
Okay, so we'll finish off now. We'll talk about the Plague Marines a little bit.
Sure.
So for a Plague Marine or any Chaos Space Marine devoted to Nurgle's service, the timeless nature of existence within the Wharf is an incomparable gift. Unlike lesser mortals, they have the opportunity to fully explore and comprehend profound lessons and experiences because they got all the time in the world, in the warp, you know? This eternal existence grants them ample time to ponder their master's grand plan for ultimate corruption and witness the evolution of the diseases within them, growing deadlier with each passing moment. I just love the idea of these guys being like, oh, boy, immortality is so great. Oh, did you look at that? Got a new pustule today. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, boy, this one's right under my fingernail. Hurts like a bitch. Oh, how lovely. Blessed be, Papa Nurgle.
Ouch. Man, I remember one time I put my hand in my pocket and had a $20 bill and the quarter of the 20-year-old bill right under the nail. Yeah, I was at
for the American listeners, we have plastic money. We have plastic money.
It's, yeah.
They get you. It's stiff.
It stayed stiff. And it was right in Lionel Groulx Metro. It's an iconic metro station in Montreal. And I still remember exactly where I was standing because that pain reaction was so much that my mind coded it. This is a threat, you know? But yeah.
Jimmy's fight or flight kicks in. He jumps in front of a train. Like, it's all part of the plan.
Yeah. I also remember this one window every time I go to the Depenard over there because there was a lady in a bra who was just like at her window. And I think that's another part of my brain that just like coded that window as. It's like, remember that one.
I saw boobs here one time in your mind palace.
Yeah.
Jimmy going through his mind palace, or, you know, Twitch clips. You got Platoon references or movies I saw last night references, and then like places I saw a booby. We got the Aerosmith concert. We got the definite Lionel Groulx.
Oh, you know. No. This was closer to home, but anyways.
Okay. Yeah. So one of the greatest desires of the Plague Marines is to witness the decay of the False Emperor, of course, as he withers away on his golden throne. While followers of Tsinch engage in futile attempts to breach the Imperial Palace, the patient Chaos Space Marines of Nurgle know that inevitability is on their side. They understand that nothing, not even the Emperor's rule, is eternal. So they're happy to kind of like kick back and look at their, play with their pustules and, you know, pop each other's pimples. They get a little, like, instead of a massage train, they get like a pimple popping train going.
You know, anytime I've been in a relationship, my girlfriends, I guess, usually enjoy that if there's like something on
my
the back.
My wife is obsessed with popping pimples. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I had one in the middle of my back and I'm like single right now. I'm like, who do I ask to do this? And I just let it be. Yeah, exactly.
I let all my pimples be. It just makes them like worse when you pop them.
I like to pop them too.
I know you do. You're gross. Yeah. You're freaking sick, bro.
Oh, it's satisfying. It's like something like the monkey brain, you know, like picking a gnat out. I picked a fly out of an old man's shoulder hair at the park the other day.
What are you saying? What do you mean? What do you mean you picked a fly out of an old man's shoulder hair at the park?
He was sitting next to me and a fly was in his shoulder hair and I grabbed it. And then he looked at me and I pretended to eat it, but I didn't actually eat it.
You're a Nurgle. You belong to Nurgle. That's for sure.
Yeah, I know.
By design with you, you're a Nurgle boy. That's for sure.
Feeling comfortable with this god, yeah.
While the long war may seem endless to others, these enlightened and blighted warriors find solace. Still, they harbor the same deep-seated hatred for their former brothers that all Chaos Legions share. Although a victory will eventually come to them, they actively participate in the downfall and renewal of the galaxy, following Nurgle's example. So they're happy to kick back. They know that they can kick back, but they do also, you know, they will get engaged in warfare, and you can play as the Plague in the tabletop game. You know?
Cool. Yeah.
With eternity at their disposal, they revel in the joy of life and derive satisfaction from the destruction that they can bring to their enemies. Billions of souls are waiting to be tormented by spiritual plagues. Entire worlds are ripe for virus bombing, and Space Marine chapters are potential experimental subjects for Nurgle's ever-evolving diseases. These veterans of the Long War see it as their duty and privilege to seize every opportunity to further the great cycle through acts of vengeance against the Emperor's loyalists. Memories of the betrayal of during Horus's War still resonate strongly with those who fought in those days. While the brainless savages of Khorne and the pleasure-seeking devotees of Slaanesh play their parts, the Plague Lord's grand design stands unparalleled. As empires crumble, stars collapse, and Space Marine chapters fade into oblivion, Nurgle and his chosen servants will have the last laugh. The galaxy will die, paving the way for a new existence, where Nurgle reigns supreme, free from the Emperor, the influence of the Emperor's loyal. So sign up you can do your part too. I figured I'd end us off with a little bit of a recruitment drive there, you know, try and get the listeners to our show who are fresh out of high school but haven't gone to college yet and aren't sure what they want to do with their life. You guys can sign up. You know, here's me in the mall at a plastic table with a clipboard telling you that you can sign up to join Nurgle's army.
Yeah. He gives you like a small scalpel and you just like dip it into an unpopped pimple and you sign up. Yeah.
Just writing like that like oily white like pus on like a white piece of paper, like sign, yeah. sign here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Availabilities. Okay. Thank you.
just gonna stamp it there with a little phlegm seal.
And then just a very wet cough, and then you spit. Yeah. I was trying to save them from it.
Nah, this has been a gross episode. So thanks for sticking through. If you guys have stuck through, I guess it means you're like Jamie. You're gross.
I'm gross. Yeah, we're all
sticking
gross
through here. We're all gross here. We all float here and we're all gross here. Thanks for listening. If you guys like the show, you can support us by telling your friends and family about it. If they're into pimple popping, if they are subscribed to R Popping on Reddit, then maybe this is the episode for them. If not, then maybe start them off with one of our other 40K episodes or any of the other episodes we have. For people who've been trying to get to the website, we know it's down right now. I just realized I had an issue with the domain. The website is up if you go to theloreboys.com. Loreboys.com isn't working right now. I'm not sure why.
But, I was going to ask you. I tried today.
We're if you go to theloreboys.com, it should, I mean, it should work by the time this episode comes. But we'll see. So thanks to everyone who's let us know about it. If you want to get in touch with us, contact at loreboys.com or loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. We released a mailbag episode 3, 4, or 5 weeks ago, something like that. We'll be doing another one sometime in the future. So get those emails in and we'll read them on an episode or on a Twitch stream or somewhere.
We're so behind, we should just save ourselves the headache of writing and just do another mailbag.
Right? <Yeah. laughs> It says the guy whose episode is next. Real convenient that
it works out really well. And then I'm on vacation after that. It's like, wow, perfect. Anyways, if you want to check out the Instagram, go on to Lore Boys Podcast on the Instagram. Pete takes care of all of that. So if you're looking for our faces, you probably won't see it super often, but Pete will give you all the updates and stuff you need there. And on top of that, get into the discord.gg/loreboys. That's our custom URL. If not, you can always find it on our website. So just get in there. That's where most of my interaction comes from. I'd say Pete's pretty active. I see Ethan whenever he has time as well. And we're all in there. So just get in there. And that's the best place. We even have community nights and stuff. Like there was one for someone's birthday, Big Jilm's birthday. It was not so long ago. We all hung out. Discord's a great place just to see what's going on. So yeah, get in there.
Yeah. If you guys want to support the show financially, we got a bit of extra cash kicking around. You can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/loreboys. Get access to bonus content, the loser titles game, the episode art from this episode, the patron AMA, where Magnus is asking questions about Warhammer 40K while we're recording a Warhammer 40K episode.
And in this week's bonus, I'm going to throw Pete under the bus.
Oh, Pete's getting so thrown under the bus by both of us.
We're not letting
Pete get away scot-free. Come on.
No way. We're going to throw him under the bus. And he can't even defend himself.
Exactly. He shouldn't be able to. This is the only way that... I think that trials, when Pete is on trial, Pete shouldn't be allowed to attend. That's my feeling on it. Because he's gonna argue and he's going to make it seem like it's not his fault. Yeah. Try and defend himself, which he shouldn't be allowed to do.
It's a lot faster if you just have the prosecution.
Yeah. So if you guys want to... sign up, support the show, and you don't trust Patreon, we do have Lore Boys Prime, where this week we are prosecuting Peter. So he's got a litany of crimes. If you guys have a crime against Peter, have you been injured in a workplace accident involving Peter O'Donoghue? Well, you're not alone. Call the number on your screen now to let us know. Miller and Palmer Esquire, attorneys at large. we're here to help. We're not going to let Peter get away with this. Not one more dog dang time. Okay?
Yep, we've had families who've been able to retire on their Peter money because he has just messed up so many things for so many people. And I'm tired of seeing it happen. So
we're all tired of seeing it happen. I'm tired of seeing it happen. You're tired of seeing it happen. You, the listener at home, are tired of seeing it happen. Yeah. We're tired of seeing it happen to you. You're tired of seeing it happen to us. Why are we letting this happen all the time?
Yep.
No more defense of Peter.
Nope.
Peter, no more defense.
We do DUIs too, just in case you need them. But.
Personal injury, DUIs. We're not very good at being lawyers, but we try hard. Mm-hmm. We will try hard. We will do our gosh darn best.
Especially when it means throwing Peter under the bus. We put our 110 in.
Oh yeah. And I think that would constitute a lore boys.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.